You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Monday, June 30th, episode 3722, brought to you today by Worm Flooring. Good morning, horse people.
And they're off. From between horses, Din's Dancer. There goes the roan filly, winning colors, grabbing the lead right from the start. Carrie Stevens sends her to the front, and she responds, taking command by a length on the far outside. Pat Bay has 49er in second. Din's Dancer is next at the rail. It's seeking the gold fourth. Then a bit of a bobbling between C-Trek and on the outside, Purdue King. They're in tight quarters as they go to the first turn. Antley looking for a bit of racing luck around the first turn. He's five wide with the favorite, Private Terms. Now back to the front end, and it's the filly, winning colors, showing the way by three. 49er, content to sit second by a half length. Seeking the gold is third by one. Then Din's Dancer is fourth by a head. C-Trek on the outside fifth. Proper Reality, the winner of the Arkansas Derby, is along the inside and moving up steadily. Then comes Purdue King. Then comes Private Terms toward the inside. Regal Classic is next, followed by Jim's Orbit. After that, it's Brian's Time, Cape Coast on the far outside, then Risen Star, then Granacus, followed by Intensive Command. Cephas is second last, and the trailer is Lively One with Bill Shoemaker. They go to the far turn, and it's still winning colors, showing the way after the half in 46-4, and three quarters went 111-2, and no one has challenged her yet. Along the inside, Proper Reality has gained ground and moved into second. Seeking the gold is racing third. 49er is fourth. And Private Terms on the outside fifth as they come to the top of the stretch. She's led from the start. Every pole a winning one. And it's winning colors showing the way as they straight away in the lane. Winning colors doing it just like D-Way Lucas said she would. Taking command and drawing off. Now she's in front by three. Proper Reality is second. Here comes 49er, two-year-old champ from last year, putting in a bid on the outside. And down the stretch they come. Winning colors in front. Here comes 49er on the outside. Lucas and Stevens. It's a driving finish. Winning colors by a head. Wire to wire with Gary Stevens.
Woo! What a mare! Oh my God, it was like yesterday.
1988, that race was. And of course, we're doing that because we did lose D'Wayne Lucas over the weekend. Winning Colors was his first, actually, of the Kentucky Derby winners of four. He had four Kentucky Derby winners, Thunder Gulch, Grindstone, and Charismatic over the years. But I thought I'd play the Winning Colors one. The only thing that still annoys me about this is the thing that always annoys me about playing these recordings is they put the crowd noise so loud you can barely hear the announcer.
That's because they didn't have the technology back then to balance all of that out. But man, yeah, I was in fourth grade when she won.
Really?
Yes. And that's how ingrained into racehorses I was that I remember where I was and how old I was when she won. Anyway,
that's aged funny. Myself. That's the year Jennifer and I got married.
So, oh my God, you're so old.
That's the age difference right there.
Man, but to honor a legend, holy cow, we're gonna do something pretty cool here in a minute. But I just want to say, like, D'Wayne Lucas, man, that guy lived like he wanted to live, and he finished his life the way he wanted to finish his life. Like, I was thinking back to like the Belmont when just this year, you know, riding horses down to the track and every day, I mean, every day that man hopped on a horse and went down and did what he loved and provided a great life by being really good at what he loved, and provided a great life for himself and his family and grandkids and great grandkids. And then when it was, you know, when he came up with the infection, he was like, no, I'm not going to get treatment. And he just like, and he went out the way he wanted to go out. And what to me, I was like, that is such a beautiful way. Like, no suffering. It just, I don't know, you guys, if you know any of my history, like, what a gift to be able to live your life like he did and come to the conclusion of your life like he did. What an amazing career he had with Thoroughbred. So you want to go through some of the numbers?
Yeah, 30,000 starts, 4,953 Thoroughbred racing victories, and $300 million in career earnings.
Now, mind you, he was also a quarter horse trainer before this, so this is just Thoroughbreds.
Right, right, which I didn't know about the quarter horse thing, but apparently he did quite well there, too. So
he lived here in Oklahoma. He's a legend.
Oh, really?
In Oklahoma. Oh, yeah.
I didn't realize that. He had seven.
My father-in-law, he used to live near our neighborhood.
Really?
Like, yeah.
He had four winners in the Kentucky Derby, seven Preakness Stakes wins, and four Belmont Stakes wins. Also, in Breeders' Cup, he had a record 20 wins. He was tied for leader in Breeders' Cup wins, including six in the Juvenile Fillies and five in the Juvenile. He trained 26 Eclipse Award winners, including three Horse of the Year winners, Lady Secret, Criminal Type, and Charismatic. I always played the Charismatic race, but this one was the first one, so I thought I'd play that in the Philly, too. He was inducted in the Thoroughbred Hall of Fame in 1999, and in 2024, at age 88, he became the oldest trainer to win the Triple Crown race, winning the Preakness Stakes with Seize the Gray. So, to win a Triple Crown race. So, there you go. All the way to the end, he was breaking records.
Do you remember all of the rule violations and suspensions that he's had?
No, actually.
Exactly.
I had a chance to catch up this morning. Unfortunately, he couldn't make it now because he was busy. So the first thing this morning, I think we were both half awake. I caught up with our friend and ex-jockey, Frankie Lovato, who rode for Dwayne Lucas a bunch back in the day when they were both younger. And I got him on the phone to talk about Dwayne. You want to hear that?
Oh, my God, yes. Okay.
Well, we have a very special guest today to talk about Dwayne Lucas, and that's Frankie Lovato of the Equisizer fame and also a, 5,000 race winner as a jockey. So, Frankie, you rode with Dwayne? For Dwayne?
Yes. Yes, back in the 80s when he started to build his stable up from California and headed east to New York. That's where I was stationed, and I was, I was lucky enough to ride a bunch of horses, won some big races for him, when he got to the New York circuit. So, he was quite the showman. The man could talk as you've seen him.
He should have
over
had
all
his own
years.
Podcast. In other words, Frankie.
he rolled off his tongue, he really could charm and was very good at it. And he was great for racing because he was so good at, on media, all sorts of media and television. But along with that, he brought new people into the game. His barn was constantly immaculate. It was just perfect. When he would ship into a racetrack, they would they'd have landscapers. They'd have aside from the barn help themselves, like the shed row, which we call the walk area that's in front of the stalls. Everything was just perfection, and that's what basically he that was his thing.
Was he really tough as a boss?
He was. He was tough. I got fired a million times, but I got hired a million times. Yeah, he didn't like losing. Yeah, he didn't like losing, and the jockey was the first thing to go. So, but he'd rehire me, and there was one point where I was like his go-to man when you have your, let's say we're racing at Belmont Park, and that's where he'd be stabled. There'd be a lot of times where there'd be some of these smaller stakes races that'll be, let's say, West Virginia or Chicago or Kentucky, with all these states that are in perimeter of New York. And he would send horses there to try to get them stakes winners or stakes placed. And I was his man to do that. Like he could count on me as being a New York rider. He could send me to these smaller tracks and try to get the job done. go ahead.
Well, he was known even up till, you know, till he's 89, right? About riding a horse while doing morning trainings. He was on a horse, right? Was he always that way? Did he always do that?
Yeah, that's one thing I really admired also about him is when he was at a, wherever he was stabled, and he sometimes had several stables going on with great assistants that were underneath him running his stables. But when he would come in, he was there early in the morning. It's still dark out and he was on his pony. So you have to admire that, you know, that dedication quite a bit, especially when he, you know, you don't have to do it anymore. And he's like climbing into his 80s and 90 and he's still doing it. I know I'm not that tough. but yeah.
I hope we can still be climbing on a horse at 89, right? I mean,
yeah. You know, I have no desire climbing.
Right. Yeah. There you go.
I think I'll stay on an Equisizer. That's more my speed.
Now, I've seen a ton of articles this morning, obviously, and, you know, a bunch of them calling him the greatest thoroughbred trainer of all time. What do you think?
You know, I've got to ride for some great trainers. You know, I mean, Steve Asmussen is one that, you know, I got to work with very closely and, you know, also very, you know, it's not an easy job. But yeah, Wayne, he was the full package, you know, as far as from A to Z, from horsemanship to showmanship. But there's a lot of great horsemen that are out there that I don't want to say that he's great. I got to ride for a lot of them. Some of them old timers, back in the day when I was a kid, they were already training for 50 years that, you can talk about guys like Alan Jerkins or Woody Stevens. I got to ride for those guys too. It's hard for me. It's like, you know, choosing your favorite kid kind of thing. There's some great horsemen out there, but he definitely was the full package.
Was there one trainer that stood out to you? Like was there one that when they called, you went, okay, this, I love working for this guy. You know, he just was that one, personality wise and otherwise.
Well, you know, as far as Wayne Lucas was concerned?
No, I meant any trainer.
Any trainer? Well, Rebecca Maker she's not training anymore. She trains off, rehabilitates racehorses. She's in Versailles, Kentucky. She was a great horseman. Michael Stidham, Mike Cushion, that was based in New York, I was very close with. Some of these guys don't, they're not as well known. And of course, I mentioned Steve Asmussen. Incredible horseman, worked very close. We had a lot of success together because we were, you know, like if a trainer could ride a race, you know, which they can't, that I was the kind of jockey that we had a relationship that, I could be that guy with the communication and just feel what you want and what you want to see, out there on the racetrack. And so I've been very lucky to have relationships like that with those I've just mentioned.
Well, we'll end on this, but I was surprised to read in one of the articles that he was also trained 23 champions in the quarter horse racing. In 74 and 75, he was leading the nation in quarter horse racing. I didn't know he did that.
Yeah, I had known he had had some success, but I was strictly in the thoroughbred industry. So I wasn't aware of how successful he was. I just knew he was. He was quite
didn't sound
successful.
Like he did much that wasn't successful.
He went big. You got to give the guy so much credit. And, you know, his entire life up until, you know, now, just incredible. The time and effort and dedication. And you have to admire that.
And he wasn't Jamie and I have talked about, he wasn't one we heard bad things about, you know, just, you know, as far as getting suspended and all of that stuff. You just didn't hear it.
He ran a very clean operation, and as I mentioned, he had the best assistants underneath him that would, you know, when he wasn't there, because he'd have stables at several different tracks that he had assistants that were, well, you can see some of them, you know, now that have gone off, like Todd Pletcher and Kieran McLaughlin and Mark Hennig and Randy Bradshaw. There's a line of them that have become quite successful on their own, or very successful on their own.
Very.
But they just follow the model of what Wayne did. So.
Well, Frankie, thank you for joining us. I know you have to head out with the grandkids someplace, so we really appreciate you taking the time out this morning to do this.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me, Glenn.
Well, thank you to Frankie for doing that. I know I caught him off guard early this morning, and I really appreciate him jumping in like he did. Frankie's such a good friend, and we enjoy having him on the show every time. And our best to family and all the connections of D. Wayne Lucas. May you rest in peace. All right, time to do some Daily Winnies, Jamie. Well, we do have a couple of auditor birthdays today, Margaret Dwyer and Allison Renborg. Allison is also the host of the Equine Affair episode, so happy birthday to both of you.
Man, I had such a fun day yesterday. It's hot as bejesus out here, right? But I mean, it is everywhere. But I went to a dressage clinic, and they have a covered arena, and oh my God, that's amazing.
Did they have fans? Was it cooler?
It was so nice in there. I'm like, this is the way to live. Someday, my next life, I'm going to come back and have this beautiful covered arena. Anyway, the point is, I had a great time, and I wanted to give a Daily Winnie to all the auditors that were there. It was fantastic.
Really?
Yeah. So, yes. So the clinic was with a woman named Sherry Guess, and she kind of, her dressage kind of expertise is using kind of your body to properly get the most out of what you want with your horse, you know. And I always stop and she asks, you know, kind of where you are and what your goals. And I was like, I have a goal. I would like to canter, you know, make our canter transitions better. He's young, he's still in balance, he's blah blah blah. And I said all these things, and I was like, and she's like, well, that sounds normal. And I was like, and if he could try, maybe not try to buck me off, like when I asked for canter, like just simple things like that. We used a lot of different things. It was really, really good clinic. I had some amazing canter work. Once we got all the leads we were supposed to get, you know, you got to start somewhere.
Which horse were you on again?
I was on Ace.
Ace, okay.
The thoroughbred. And she was asking me, she was like, okay, what was his race career like? And I was like, It wasn't. She's like, well, I mean, obviously he went into training. Did he just? And I was like, he couldn't get into a race because he couldn't even qualify for a race because his timed works were so slow. I was like, I paid $1,500 for this horse, like, as a 3-year-old. So they had bought him for quite a bit more, not too long before that. So it's pretty crazy. They tried. Yeah, they tried to make him a racehorse, so it's just fitting that he's in a second career fairly young. Auditors Patty, Allison, Pam, and Amy, everybody was there. It was super fun, and it was like they do like a lunch, and everybody kind of watches each other. It's good.
So what did you learn? What was your takeaway? We always say anytime you go to a lesson or a conference, you should have one takeaway that you really focus on.
Well, there was probably about... Well, there's two big ones that I learned, and this is boring for people who don't ride, but when you're asking for the canter depart or a half halt in the canter, like, people want to say, like, you know, you kind of like add leg and kind of sit. As in this thing, she said, you've got big thigh blocks, you might as well use them. Instead of sitting, you lift your thighs like as the horse is going up, and then you're asking for a half halt in the correct time. And oh my God, it works so good.
Did
and
it
oh my
feel
God,
weird though when you first did it?
No, it felt great. I was like, this makes so much more sense. Yeah. Like it was almost easier, but oh my God, I can't walk. I'm so sore. I got up and rode this morning. I did do some stuff. Like I was like, got to push through. But one of the girls, she was like, Sherry is notorious for making you sore for days. Days. And the other thing was like getting him to activate his right hind a little bit more. I mean, again, like boring stuff. So lifting my right hand and adding leg while lifting my inside rein, kind of like to get him to really bend to the outside in that canter, keeping that outside rein and outside leg against his neck, which really helped. So again, those are the takeaways. Sorry.
Are you wanting him to be just a dressage horse, or are you thinking eventing for him or what?
I would love to event him. I've done a couple little little eventing things, but you know, it's not as easy to access a cross country course as it is to go to a dressage lesson.
That's true. So, and as we know, dressage wins events now. So
yeah. So we're gonna be real good at it. The last we've done one dressage test, and he got a 9 on his halt. So he's pretty good at it. But also, it was a walk trot test. So we've got some work to do on the canter portion of life. So like I said, the jumps are not a problem. It's the between the jumps, like from between 1 and 2 and between 2 and 3. So he's coming along. He's coming along. But this one I've definitely been really slow and patient with because I love him and he's so pretty.
He is pretty. You guys look good up there together. And also, can we give a shout out to our auditor too? Because you were wearing all of her clothes and you looked great.
Oh my God. Yeah. So May Babes Equestrian used to be May Babes. Now she changed it to And Horses. So andhorses.com is the place. And the pants, I'm wearing them right now, actually, they are like some slip-ons and they were really affordable. Like, and so I bought 2 pair. And then she had this shirt that was on clearance. It's like black pinstripe. You guys, there's some left. Go on there. And everything was very, very affordable. And I went to this place and people were like, dang, look at you. And I was like, yeah, I'm a pretty fancy dressage lady. Thank you very much. And I'm kind of a big deal. And what two of the auditors, I think it was Allison and Amy, both were like, we have those pants too.
This is not a paid commercial, but she started this company basically with the help of auditors years ago, helping her test products and stuff.
We chronicled her journey from kind of just getting a patent to designing things and developing. So I feel very invested in this company because just and hoping for the success of it, because she came on like once a month and talked about the trouble and the difficulties and the successes. Yeah, of having starting your own, like designing your own clothes and finding the right people to make them and all that. So anyway, I love it. I love Emily and all the stuff that she's done. So check it out, andhorses.com. The green little stretchy pants and then the little black pinstripe shirt I was wearing, and I look so fancy.
Well, we do have some equestrian first world problems come up. I have some equestrian news for you as well coming up. So we'll get to all of that in the Auditor Post Show. We haven't done any fun or funny or oh my God lottery stories lately. We used to do that all the time, remember? And then we used to dream about what we were going to buy with our lottery winnings. Well, the fact is,
indoor arena,
we're still here, so we haven't won the lottery yet. But we're going to do that in the Auditor Post Show, so hang on for that. I got some fun ones for you that have happened this year. Worm flooring now does your trailer roof. Leaky roofs are a very common problem in horse trailers and RVs. Worm flooring's revolutionary silicone-based coating creates a barrier against heat and wet. We had one of our auditors on last week talking about getting both of her trailers done, floor and roof. So it stops leaks before they start. And she did say, you know, we say it reflects back nearly 90% of the UV rays, keeping your trailer cooler. She said it definitely does that. She said she's put the thermometer in there and tested both. You weren't here last week when she was on, but she's tested both and it's cooler with the
I hope that when they get it done that they mention that they heard about it from us. Because
she said she did. So that's good.
Yay.
And by the way, that's true of anything you do. If you place an order for one of our sponsors online, please put in the comments that you heard about it on our show. That does help us. That goes a long way.
And so, try the coupon code HRN. Sometimes it works. Yeah. It surprises me sometimes.
Yeah, if there's a company with a coupon code, it's always HRN. So check it out. Find out if there's a Worm Flooring dealer near you. Go to wormflooring.com. That's WERM flooring.com. Okay, so we're going to go now to my random news from the horse world. And
okay.
Crosby Ray Vaughn.
Hold on. We need some sort of sounder. And now it's time for random news of the horse world.
Oh, good. I'll cut that out and we'll use it in the future.
No, I'll just do it every time. Okay. It's fine.
Crosby Ray Vaughn. Who is Crosby Ray Vaughn, you ask? Well, it's a 3-year-old mare.
Why? It's a guitarist.
Yeah. Oh, why
Stevie
are we?
Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Guess what kind of mare it is when I'm saying the name is Crosby Ray Vaughan and the father's name is Stevie Ray Vaughan?
Oh, it's got to be a quarter horse.
3-year-old mare just set a record and sold at an auction for $1.7 million at the Old West Roping Futurity Sale, setting a record for the highest selling Western performance horse at a public auction.
Oh, my. It's three.
1.7 million. A blue roan filly was bred for team roping. Team roping is the in thing right now. And the father, Stevie Ray Vaughan, is a National Cutting Horse Association for Charity
He's
champion.
He's a guitarist.
Yes.
He's a guitarist.
That's right. It does sound that way. And he earned $421,000 in his career, but his offspring have won $18 million in prize money, which is why this one at three sold for $1.7 million.
Where was this sale?
It said Heber, which I don't know
Heber.
Where Heber or Heber is. Sounds okay, a lot like I my just, last name.
Oh, Utah. Yeah, Utah. I love that you just mispronounced what sounds like your last name.
Yeah, so there you go. That was the story number one. Oh, we got to talk about this rule change with the USEF because it shocked the hell out of me because I didn't know about this, and maybe I should have, and maybe I shouldn't be so shocked that people do bad things to their horses. But there was a recent rule change by the USEF that has caused quite a stir, and the stir wasn't because there was any opposition to the rule. But it's because they needed this rule and the fact that this rule was needed in the first place. So what they basically, the rule change is, at shows now, they can use, in addition to blood and urine, they can use hair testing to test for illegal drug use. Because hair tests will find drugs that actually blood and urine won't find. I didn't know that either.
I did know that, but I don't want to talk about why I know that. Go ahead. Move on.
So the one specifically that they're targeting is pentobarbital.
And what's, what?
What's that used for, Jamie? Pentobarbital?
That's the euthanasia drug called blue juice or pink juice.
That's how they put your horse down. That's correct. And
who's using that as a performance-enhancing drug?
I had to look that up because I had the same question. And apparently it's used in small dosages to calm horses, potentially making them more compliant, less excitable, or easier to handle. Well, no kid. They're half dead at that point.
It's a
form of doping as it artificially alters the horse's natural performance. I had no idea this was being used.
Oh, God, that's so scary.
And you know it's being used by people that don't know what they're doing and, you know, could accidentally give them too much.
What sport is guilty of this?
I don't know, but the fact that it's USEF that made the ruling means that it's... they don't make these rules unless they've come across the problem, right? But it shocked the hell out of me. It shocked you apparently too, because I had no idea.
Who would inject that into, I mean, I have nightmares about, like when I was a vet tech, we'd have to euthanize horses. I would have nightmares that you wouldn't give it enough and it would wake up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have the but same, like, every horse like a zombie.
Yeah. So Jamie, I want to know who the first person was that said, oh, they use pentobarbital to euthanize horses. If I only gave them a little bit, what would happen? Who was the first guy to do that?
Oh, my stomach hurts even thinking about that. Again, like I said, like, you know, lightning does strike. Maybe they'll get struck by lightning.
Karma's a bitch.
Yeah.
On a happier news story,
give me something good, for God's sake.
We're about halfway through the U.S. Open of eventing. We haven't talked about this year. You know, we always joke about dressage and eventing being like you win no money. There's no money in eventing.
Yeah.
Well, this year they're trying to change that, and that's the reason it's being done. We're halfway through the $200,000 final of the U.S. Open of eventing. And what that is there's a whole bunch of qualifying rides. They're all four-star events that happen across the United States. And you earn points based on your finish. And then at the end of the year, a certain number of those finishers, I think it's the top 10, go on and do a ride at Morven Park in October to become the champion to basically U.S. Open or Equestrian Open of Eventing champion. That champion will win $200,000. It's the biggest ever awarded prize in the U.S. for eventing. And they think it might be the biggest for eventing in the world.
Is there like a sponsor that we have to start calling like Defender U.S. Open or something?
I didn't read that part. It doesn't say in this article. But on top of that, the top point earners are eligible for an additional $50,000 in prize money. So we're halfway through the qualifying rides this year, and they've published the top 10 now. You're really into eventing. Do you want to give me a guess on who's in the top 10?
I would go Boyd Martin.
Boyd Martin is number 5, believe it or not.
Number 5?
Yeah.
How about?
Because remember, it only counts the 4-star rides that are qualifiers in the United States.
Oh, 4 stars.
Yeah.
Not 5 stars? Well, that seems not fair. dumb it down, people.
I think it's 4 stars and up. So,
what about James Alliston?
James Alliston is number 4. You're doing good here. Think obvious, like really obvious.
Will Coleman.
Will Coleman is not in the top 10.
What is happening? Philip Dutton.
Number one. Philip Dutton sitting in the lead. He's done quite well at events over the years. So
yep, that was a gimme. Now there's somebody who's been winning a whole lot, and I hate to say her last name because I'm going to butcher it. But Caroline Pamukkachu.
I know exactly. Yes, I knew you were talking about her when you said it. She's number three. Pamuko. Is it Pamuko? Kamuku?
No, I don't know. We'll have to call Sally. And Tick Maynard.
Nope.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, no Tick Maynard.
Tammy Smith?
You would think that Tammy Smith also would be on that list, but she is not.
All right, I'm done.
All right. Philip Dutton, number one. Jessica Phoenix is sitting in number two.
Oh, I was only thinking American. Yeah. She's a Canadian. U.S. Open.
Yeah, she did.
And tennis.
I know, but apparently if they ride in the qualifying events, they count.
Like in U.S. Open for tennis, they get other people from other countries.
Oh, that's true. So yeah, you're right. And golf, right? So,
yep.
Caroline, who you mentioned, whose last name we can't say. James Alliston, number four. Boyd Martin, number five. Jenny Branigan, number six.
Okay.
Emma Klugman, number seven, because she's ridden in several shows here in the United States. Lucienne Bellissimo. Sharon White. God, Sharon White's been around for a long time.
Yeah. This.
Tied for number 10 is Mia Farley and Tammy Greengard. So they're all sitting in the top 10 right now. Look at Jessica Phoenix. Kind of surprised me that she's done pretty well at some shows here, though.
That's amazing. And yeah. I wonder if Tammy Greengard is sponsored by Greengard Muzzles. Wouldn't that be funny?
Sorry. She should be. You need to go out and make that happen.
I know, right? I'm a genius.
Your horse's behavior is a form of communication. If you're dealing with unwanted behavior like bucking, girthiness, and overall poor attitude under saddle, it might be a training issue. It could be a saddle fit issue also. Saddle Fit for Life has worked with over 300,000 horses and has developed a proven approach to saddle fit that addresses both horse and rider comfort. They're offering a 7-day free trial of their comprehensive course designed to help you identify and solve saddle fit problems. Don't miss this opportunity to improve your horse's well-being. Click on the link in the show notes to start your 7-day free trial with Saddle Fit for Life today. We do it once a month now. What do? This.
It's time for the weekly look at your equestrian first world problems.
This ought to be good.
Okay, Glenn, basically what happens once a month is we ask listeners what are some of their equestrian first world problems. If you have a first world problem and it involves your horse, it's first world. Okay, that's just the way that's the way it is. So what I would like you to do is go to the post that I put up on Facebook or you put up on Facebook on Sunday, and I want you to look because one includes pictures. So okay. We're going to get to that. You don't have to look yet. Just have it up ready to go. Okay, let's see. We're going to start with Chantel, hold on, I gotta get my glasses on.
The auditors post a lot. I'm scrolling to find this.
Yeah. Okay. So Chantel says, my barn owner recently purchased an adorable gypsy cob mare, and she's pregnant, and I'm in love with the mare, and she's foaling in December, and I don't have time to save up the money to buy it.
You know, when you were saying that, I thought she was talking about the barn owner. Was pregnant. Oh. I was like, she's going to buy the barn owner's baby. Oh, it's the horse.
The adorable gypsy cob mare is pregnant.
Okay, good. I'm glad to hear it.
I mean, forget your debt snowball. Let's go. Just put it on hold. You know what? You remember what Dave Ramsey says about horses?
What?
Do you not remember?
I don't remember.
I think we played it. Dave Ramsey was like, this guy calls in, he's like, my wife, she spends all her money on horses. And Dave goes, hey, stop that. You can't fix that one. That's when he was like, she's not getting rid of the horses. She'll get rid of you before she gets rid of that horse.
Poor Chantel's on a teacher salary. So I don't know that she's going to be buying extra horses anytime soon.
Well, you know.
I'm thinking about you, Chantel, though.
Rachel,
we're talking
says
about the lottery later, Chantel. You could always go that route.
I mean, let's do it. Yep. You learn every day on this show. Rachel says, it's been so hot, I've been giving these horses a mid-afternoon hose to cool them off. The problem is, I worry my gelding to be sad and think I'm neglecting him when he cools back down because he loves it so much. And she's a video of him. She's like blasting him with the hose and he's like loving it. It's great.
We have something exciting going to be happening today that we're a little afraid of here at the farm. Our neighbors below us have finally gotten to the point where they're bringing their, she has two dressage horses, and they're bringing their horses home, which means they're going to be like two fences neighbors away from our horses. And I'm thinking that that's going to cause a lot of commotion today.
Or it might calm things down for Nigel.
If yesterday was any judge, I don't think so. Yesterday, I said to Jennifer, let's just take Nigel and Scooter, the two retired horses, for a walk around the farm. So get them out of their stalls, take them for a walk around the farm. So we did that. We taken them for a walk around the farm right beside James Field, the new horse. And James decides to have an absolute bucking, kicking, running meltdown that we have these two horses out and he's not, which caused Scooter to go into it while I'm holding him, to go into a kicking, bucking, because he hates horses running behind him.
So obviously you...
We switched horses quickly before I died, and Jennifer took Scooter and managed to get him calmed down while I ran away with Nigel. So...
So, you know how the saying goes, I had one horse and it was lonely. So I got a horse for my horse because it was lonely. And then when I couldn't ride my horse because then the other horse would be lonely. So I got a third horse. But then you can't do anything with two horses because then you're leaving one behind. So then we had to get a fourth horse.
I was so mad yesterday. I was horse husband mad yesterday. And that's what Jennifer called it, horse husband mad. Because I was just like, I wanted to go for a quiet little walk with my pony.
And all these stupid things I do for
that's
you.
That's exactly
and
what I said
when
we got home.
Me.
And then the rest of the day, she's like, you're not allowed in the barn. You're going in the house. So I went in the house and I painted. And I did not go out back out to the barn at all yesterday. Did not.
Just like what I have to tell my husband, if you would stop approaching them like a mountain lion, then they would be better for you.
I've learned a long time ago when you get in that mood, and everybody does at some point with their horses, you just have to walk away from it.
Just go back in the house, honey. Yeah. Craigslist Carl is not
horse husbands. We all get to that point as horse husbands.
Yeah.
Everybody says, you're a horse guy. No, I'm still a horse husband.
No. Heather says, my green grass is so lush and beautiful and green in my pastures, but now it's so hot and wet outside that the horses have been on limited turnout as Florida is being Florida. Yeah, what does that mean?
That means we're getting rain every day. The grass is so lush that all the horses can't get turned down on it or they die. So that's what that means.
Kaylin says,
I'm
Charlie
mowing twice
and I...
a week now.
Are you? Yeah. Kaylin says, Charlie and I had our viewing of our heart horse photo session we did with Bethany, who's also an auditor. Now, for those who don't remember, their heart horse is Taco Tuesday. Oh. And she said, it was way too hard to limit my choices of photographs.
I saw the one she posted about that. And how cool is it that we had two auditors get together to do that? That's cool.
With Taco Tuesday, oh my God, my heart just sings every time I see pictures of them together.
Funny how Kayla's, the world comes around in circles.
I know. Yeah. I know. It's so cool. Kayla says, my horse, he doesn't like normal treats like apples, mints, watermelons, carrots, or strawberries. So I had to buy the stupid expensive treats. Oh my God. Just at last week when I was at Monty's, Shy Boy doesn't like anything except for this one particular German horse treat.
Of course.
Muffin. And Debbie's like, I have to buy German horse treats. It's the only thing
I know
he'll
which
eat.
One he likes too. I know what those are exactly. Yes.
Yeah. Shy Boy's 33 and Shy Boy gets what Shy Boy wants.
Is he 33 now?
Yes. Wow. Isn't that amazing? And Mustangs don't live that long.
No.
It's incredible. So testament to the care and love that he's gotten for sure. But yeah. And so she's having to buy these the squishy so he doesn't have to break him down with his 33-year-old teeth. And that's apparently the only treat he'll eat. So yeah. Even Monty Roberts has a horse that's a diva. Betty says, to me, I read this and I was like, oh my gosh. And then I was like, oh God, she's such a horse chick. Betty Fay, I was unexpectedly briefly hospitalized and I had to scratch the biggest clinic of the year both the next weekend with both days of competition because I wasn't 100%. It was 100 degrees and my horse is ready to go and I'm not.
It's always one or the other, isn't it?
You take a moment to oh my God, I'm in the hospital. I can't go to the show.
It's always the horse that's injured or you're injured. Somebody's injured every time.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Cheryl says, I bought all matching orange fly boots for the horse, and now they all look...
Can we go back to that quick?
And go ahead.
The horse husband speaking here again. And it's usually not refundable. So there.
No, yeah. Of course not. Never. Cheryl says, I bought all matching orange fly boots for the herd, and they all look so cute out there. And now we're heading off to an equestrian safari, and it would be so much easier for my aunt to tell the horses apart if they had different color boots.
It's all right. They'll take them all off and they'll be in the field anyway.
I need to send you a picture of the fly mask purchases that I made for this year. They're all the same. That, like, it was like Chick Saddlery or something. They had these color ones. I got everybody a different color. So like Miles is in a purple one. Ace is in a pink one. Maverick's in a teal one. Carl is in a gray one. Like, it's hilarious. And Duke is in a red one. So all the horse. Now I'm like, I know which one of you dropped your fly mask in the water trough. No. Color identified.
Cheryl, Cheryl, by the way, you're going on the equestrian safari. You have to come on after and tell us about it.
Yes, for real. Cool. I want to hear about it. Kim says, I had summer tea with non-horsey friends on Sunday after I rode. Do you know how hard it is to change at the barn and put on shapewear after you've been wearing sweaty breeches?
That's awful when you have to change when you're sweaty and stinky and you have to go someplace.
And you're trying to pull on like leggings and, and you're already sweaty.
You take your shirt off and you can't get your shirt off because it's stuck to you.
And then you try to pull something else. No. But also, I wouldn't wear shapewear. I'm throwing on PJ pants after I pull my breeches off. Like, it's part of the day.
You can't wear PJ pants to a summer tea. It's tea.
Well,
it's like tea with the queen, little finger sandwiches and tea. You can't wear it. You got to dress up for those.
Robin says, one of my school horses.
Have you ever been to a tea?
No. Nobody's ever invited me anywhere fancy. Because I'd wear pajama pants.
I don't see them having a lot of English teas in Oklahoma either.
I mean, there could be. Who knows? Robin says, one of my school horses is apparently, quote, too trained, according to the beginning lesson instructor. What? Okay, I'm going to tell you what she means by that.
Yeah, explain it.
So I had Chili. And Chili, when I had my riding school in Phoenix, I had Chili, and Chili was a horse. It did not matter what you did on him. I could tell Chili, I would say, Chili, I need you to go and trot an entire lap around the arena and come back and stop at me. And he'd be like, okay. And he would just struggle. It didn't matter what the kids did. However, you can't do that on Duke because Duke was too trained. If you flop around at him and you accidentally squeeze him, he's going to go. And if you accidentally pull, he's going to stop. And if you accidentally use too much right leg, he's going to shoot to the left. It's a compliment. And just use Joey. That was
one of those. It's kind of like having a nose to tail trail ride horse. They're going to do it their way and get you home safely.
Yeah, yes. But Duke was like, he was my intermediate horse because like that's when you had to have some self-control. So that's what that means. Coolest clinic on Gentling Wild Mustangs this weekend. I even got to sleep in Lexington, Kentucky, but I didn't get to do anything horsey there. Arsena said, I need new stirrups for my one saddle. The current ones hurt bad. So the thing is, I have 7 saddles and only 2 sets of comfortable stirrups and 3 sound horses who all need different saddles. Well, it just seems like shopping is on your agenda for today.
There's a first world problem. That's 7 saddles.
7 saddles, 3 sound horses. If she says she has 3 sound horses, how many unsound horses does she have?
Never mind. Good question.
I don't want to know.
See, that was observant of you.
That's like asking a lady how much she weighs. Like, you just don't say that.
Like that one time I accidentally asked that Western dude how many acres he had.
Oh, God.
Farm. He was so pissed.
Yeah. Well, just like the other day when I asked that lady how many Andalusians she had.
I know.
And I was like, oh, that was rude. And she's like, 16. I was like, oh, God. I didn't expect that.
I was expecting 2 to 3 when she answered.
16 high school trained Andalusians.
I was like, oh, my God.
That was last Wednesday, you guys, if you want to know. Jenna says, I'm backing.
She was a great guest.
Yeah, she's great. I want to go hang out with her. I want her to be my best friend.
16.
Jenna says, I'm backing my 3-year-old, and she's being so good. Yay. But now 3 of my 4 horses are rideable, and I'm so tired. I always, when I go to the barn, I ride the horses who need it the most first. I don't ride the fun one first. I ride which, and maybe the one that needs it the most is the fun one. But I always start with who needs it the most. And the three-year-old is going to need the most consistency. So sorry. You're going to have to leave the fun one for the end. Heather says, my young horse is leaving this week for saddle boot camp, and I'm super excited to get to ride her soon, but I'm not going to get to see her every day.
Saddle boot camp sounds like your saddle's going to boot camp.
I know what you mean. Your horse is going to boot camp. She's going to learn how to carry a saddle. Gwen says, Banjo and I went to a cross-country equestrian association event this weekend. It was my first time ever running cross-country, and I was so scared. But as soon as it was over, I emailed them to ask, when is the next one? Because I want to do it all the time. I need more.
She's addicted.
That's how it starts, man. That's the problem with eventing.
Pretty paint, too. Banjo is such a cool-looking horse.
Okay, this is the one that needs photos. This is Pamela Byers.
Okay.
Okay. She was at the clinic this weekend, and she told me about this. And I
Your clinic? Like, the one you were at?
Yes.
The dressage clinic.
The dressage clinic. She says, my sensitive OTTB gelding wears a fly sheet made for riding so he doesn't buck when a horse fly lands on his hind end while I am riding him. While untacking, I went to take off his neck fly sheet, and he started acting spooky about the fly sheet, so I untied him just to desensitize him. I rubbed the fly sheet all over him. I was throwing it in the air, and he decided it was okay. So I threw it up one more time, and the Oklahoma wind caught it and flung it to the top of my 8-foot-tall horse trailer, and I can't figure out how to get it down so I can ride my horse again.
There it is on the roof of the horse trailer.
It's so funny. And it's like bright fluorescent orange. It's probably wrapped around one of those vents. Like
She would be safe to ride on the road with this particular outfit on, I think, because it is very neon.
I think it's time to just buy a new one and just let it come off when you're driving down the road.
Hit the hose and try and hose it off.
Oh, I love that she was so thoughtful to take pictures. I'm going to have to say
she didn't wear that during the clinic, did she?
She did not. Okay. No, she did not.
I thought maybe that's where this was going. She wore it during the clinic.
No, but maybe she did. Well, I mean, she couldn't because it was on top of her trailer. So that's if you want to participate in equestrian first world problems, you need to become an auditor. Glenn, how do they do that?
Just go to horseradionetwork.com, scroll the middle of the page, click on the auditor banner, and for as little as a contribution of $3 a month, you too can join the auditor group. And we really do thank everybody who's an auditor. And speaking of auditors, hang on, we got some fun lottery stories for you. We used to do these all the time because we like to dream about winning it someday.
I like the weird news story lotteries stories. That's kind of taken over.
Yes, it has. Maybe these aren't these are close gonna... to weird. These aren't as close to weird news stories, but they're fun lottery stories. So anyway, we'll do those in the post show. Thank you everybody for joining us. We'll be back here Wednesday and Friday. Tomorrow, we have the American Horse Council here with their show. They have important updates also on the government selling all that government land, which includes riding land. So they're going to have an update on that. And then also, Mary Kitzmiller will be back on Thursday with Jennifer to give you a brand new episode of that as well. Get your weird news in for Wednesday to weirdnews@horseradionetwork.com. See everybody.
Bye, Spay, Neuter, Geld.